Hello, everybody. This is the Hyperledger Aries A working group on February 12th of 2020. And I still keep saying 2019, but it is 2020 now. We're excited today to, we've talked with the Framework Go team since last December about us reviewing Framework Go and getting some feedback and having some questions, and just didn't get a day when we're all together. So that day has finally come. I want to thank the SecureKey team for your patience as that jumped around on the schedule a bit. So thanks for your flexibility, Troy and Philip and George, the rest of the team. We have the agenda in the wiki. As usual, we want to be nice to each other, follow the code of conduct, and we want to follow whatever laws apply. And as usual, we want to, I'm going to hit edit. We want to put our names down, if you're willing, so people realize that, so we pay attention to who was at what meeting, helps with bookkeeping. And as usual, we do some introductions. Looking at the list, I think I recognize most people. Anybody want to introduce themselves?
Yeah, hi. So I'm Sven Hammann. Some of you may know me from Rebooting Web of Trust. So I've been listening to some of the calls, but I'm a PhD student at ETH Zurich, mostly interested in like protocols around DIT. For this, I've been listening to Aries calls for quite a while, but I plan to participate a bit more actively. So, yeah.
That's great news. Welcome, Sven.
Hi.
And of course, if there's any specific questions you have, feel free to ask. Yes, Rolson, go ahead.
Oh, thanks.
So my name is Rolson. I work with SecureKey and Troy on Aries Framework Go as a developer.
That's great. How big is the SecureKey team working on Aries Framework Go?
So we have 6 to 7 active people contributing to it.
Excellent. No wonder you move so fast as a group, right? I didn't realize the team was so big. So that explains the fast progress. That's excellent. Anybody else wants to introduce? Excellent. So thank you for coming, Rolson. I forgot to recognize Sudesh as well. Thank you for the SecureKey team when I was listening to SecureKey people.
Hey, this is Sudesh. I'm calling in from the SecureKey and for the Aries Framework Go team. Hey, everyone.
Excellent. Welcome. Nice to have you on the call. Any other introductions? Very good. Announcements. I didn't have any announcements this time. Anybody have something you want everybody else to know about? Okay, we'll pick through then.
Richard, I'll copy and paste in. There's the diversity, inclusion, and wow, what was the other word? Anyway, there's a survey by the Hyperledger folks that they would like us to take. I'll go ahead and paste that into the wiki here.
Thank you. I forgot about that. Yes, the survey's been open for a couple of weeks, and I think it's going to close soon. So please take the survey if you haven't yet. Helps Hyperledger keep track of, do people have bad experience in the community, and how do we fix that, and that kind of thing. So I look forward it'll be interesting to see how we do in some sort of empirical way, and so we can make corrections. Any other announcements? Okay. Thank you for that, Sam. As usual, the key related calls, a lot of the Aries protocols move to DIDCOM, to move to the DIF as DIDCOM. Those are the more low-level protocols, and the rolling agendas here encourage people to participate there and continue some of these conversations there. The last couple of Aries calls have been a lot of RFC work. I don't want to spend too much time going through those, but I do recommend people watch the recording and we can ask any questions you have. And of course, we have the Thursday Implementers Working Group call where you can learn about Indy and Ursa and the other projects that are related. Any questions or comments on related calls? Okay, let's do work updates. I want to spend about 10, 15 minutes on work updates so we can talk about the main business or the other business. Who has an update on the test suite?
I guess I do. There's not a ton to report since last time we talked. Maybe that's not true, actually. The issue credential and present proof tests are now in the test suite and are ready to be tested against other implementations. So that's, I think, the biggest piece of news there.
You said issue credential and proof?
And proof, yeah.
Excellent. Great news. I was bringing up in the Indy contributors call, we made a good list about the next steps for shared libraries. And I wanted to copy that over here, make sure everybody's aware. That's a big thing. I'll summarize it somehow in a minute. But the key is Andrew Whitehead has taken the Indy VDR out of libindy and it's its own thing. Recommend people look at that. There's some, it basically works. There's some additional testing they're adding. Let's see, actually, Stephen, you joined the call, Stephen Klump. Or do you have any update on the Indy VDR you want to share?
No, Andrew has it so far.
Excellent. So there's some additional polish going on there, but it's basically usable now. And as we standardize an Aries interface, we'll put a layer on top of that, probably as a separate repo to access it through that standard. Currently, it's exposing the libindy style interface. Mike, do you want to give an update on your work on Aries AnonCreds, Indy Aries AnonCreds, however we want to call it, Indy CredX?
Yeah, with CredX. The big thing I'm doing is the encodings right now, and then I'm working with Ken and Brent to do the rich schema stuff so that, I mean, all of the crypto layer is done, but I'm also starting to integrate that into Aries CredX Rust.
Excellent. So as we create the rich schemas for Indy, the W3C verifiable credentials, we need a bunch of utility functions for that. How do you do an encoding? What's the standard encoding look like? What are common encodings? And that's a very credential exchange thing. So Mike's been creating an Aries CredX framework to keep provide those as a C-callable API that people can share. I think that's the main information there. And then, but the other thing is we'll probably need to create an Indy specific Indy CredX that does the Indy specific Anon Cred stuff that relies on this. That work has not started yet, but if anybody wants to work on that, please let me know and I can tie into people that are thinking about it. Andrew Whitehead's the one that's done the most thinking on that, I think, at this point, that I'm aware of. We've talked about having an Aries shared util where we take pack and unpack out of libindy and move it somewhere that could be a common library for Aries. I kept thinking there'd be other stuff in there, but maybe it's just pack and unpack. But we want to get that somewhere. That work is not started. We end up working more on these other items, but we hope to get that done fairly soon. That's probably what's on deck. And then the Aries KMS, we know that Framework Go provides a key management. Libindy provides key management. We want to make sure there's room for multiple implementations. Mike and Cam have started a new implementation. They'll give it a name, and we're going to move the Indy wallet key management. We think we'll call it Tega, like the boreal forest, and gives it a name. That way we can refer to it instead of calling it the Indy wallet. We can call it Aries Tega, and people can start to compare and contrast these different approaches. That's the current thinking on that. Any questions about efforts to create shared libraries that can be used by different implementations?
Just curious about this note that says Microsoft taking a different approach to ZKP revocation. Are you sure it's revocation or just ZKPs?
I don't remember who brought this up. This was raised in an afternoon indie call, and maybe it was Kyle. Somebody said, hey, you guys should probably know that Microsoft has a paper recently on ZK snarks. And I thought it was about revocation. I don't know.
No, it's not revocation. It's a different way of doing ZKPs. If anybody wants to know what's the difference between what they're doing and what Indy's doing, they can talk to me. But there are significant differences in how they're done.
Yeah.
So there's pros and cons to both. I'm still leaning, obviously, towards Indy. Not because I understand it better, but just because I agree with the approach more. But anyway, if anybody's interested in that, I'm more than happy to show you the details because I dissected that about 2 or 3 months ago.
Excellent. Thank you.
So contact me on Rocket Chat. So.
Any other questions or comments on shared libraries, area shared libraries?
Yeah, I guess the main reason I'm bringing that up, though, is I want people to understand it's not just for revocation. It was for everything.
Yeah.
So.
And I'll fix that. Okay, next item is Aries Cloud Agent. Any update we want there? Okay. We're going to talk about Framework Go at some length. You mind if we delay that conversation, Troy, for a minute?
Okay.
Jack, you got an update on, it looks like you updated on Ruby this morning.
Yes, I did. So there's actually been some progress there. Not terribly much, but actually something I've been wanting to do. A Docker image that actually basically supports an indie client from a Heroku free tier. So that actually works, and the project is there. So, and also I updated the Aries SDK Ruby and published a new gem, but I'm having a couple problems now with the native extension compile on the project, so I can do the push request to the actual from my own private repo. But anyway, the new gem is published and it's there. It may bump up again, but there's some progress, and the Heroku free tier means you can do some experimenting as long as you have a back-end set of nodes or node, right? Either BuilderNet or your own private, you can actually experiment with this. So any feedback is welcome.
Excellent. Thank you for that, Jack. Very exciting. Don't see Tomislav. My understanding is there was a release of framework.net recently. That's all I know about it. It supports a Aries Interop Profile 1.0. I don't see the JavaScript guys, but they have been having regular JavaScript framework meetings, and I see the commits in that repo have picked up quite a bit, so that's exciting. Any other updates on these topics? Toolbox, SDK Java, static agent.
Ursa 032 was released on Friday. Monday. It includes key exchange methods now.
Excellent. And my understanding is that means that we might be able to remove the libsodium dependency. That would be exciting.
You've always been able. Oh, yes. Indy now can. Correct. Yeah. I was going to say, Ursa never required it, but now I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Hey, like a quick question around that. What is the replacement here for the sodium? And the reason why I'm asking is Have you done any performance testing? Because Rhapsodium is a native library, so I expect it may be a bit more efficient, but is it critical?
It's not. Hmm? It's not. We've benchmarked Ursa's. We're using the Dalek libraries under the hood, and you can even run it yourself with Ursa. I can send you the command, but we've benchmarked the Dalek libraries versus Libsodium. Libsodium is like maybe 1 microsecond faster in signing 1,000 messages. So it's not much. It's not much. So.
Cool. And the Dalek library is written in Rust, yeah?
It's all 100% Rust, and it's been code audited by professionals. I can send you that report. In fact, I posted it in the Ursa channel, the findings of that. So in my mind, it's awesome. And cool. Yes, it's 100% Rust. So the main things that I believe Indy needed to replace was the key exchange for DIDs, because when you create a vir key, it's a key exchange key. But anyway, the Ursa supports that now, as well as ED25519. And so that's all the dependencies I'm aware of that Indy needed to remove its dependency on Libsodium.
Cool. I think we should reserve some time to double check. Maybe we need some more functionality from Libsodium and then contact to you, Mike, and give our feedback here.
Yeah, more than happy to help with that.
Thank you.
Richard, real quick on the toolbox, minor update where we've added basic message admin functionality. This was something that's been highly requested during demos when we've demoed with the Akamai toolbox. So there's some plugin updates and some toolbox updates for that.
Excellent. And if anybody, I think most people on this call have seen the toolbox. The toolbox is a great developer tool. Anybody who hasn't played with it should. It makes a lot of various development much easier.
We're also attempting to create a more of an intro sort of getting started video too. So hopefully that'll come along soon.
That'll be useful. Excellent. Any other work in progress that people want other people to know about?
I've just been wondering, I've been working on some formal verification stuff about that's more on the conceptual level about the protocols. I'm guessing it would fit better into the B call. Would people agree there?
Well, the A call versus B call is really about time zones. The Sergey and Alex, some of the people in Eastern Europe, B call is pretty late. So if it's something you want people to know about, then feel free to spend a few minutes talking about it now. And then, of course, you can go into more detail on the B call if you're interested.
Okay, so I don't want to spend too much time right now because I haven't really prepared anything. Maybe I just want to say that it's something I'm working on, and maybe at some time I would be interested in sharing with a bit more time, and maybe at some time we could make some time for that. But I could also, I think some of the people who are more interested in like the RFC work and so on are usually more attending the B call, so I'm not sure whether it makes sense to have it there. But just that's great. Yeah, that's perfect. Just to put it on in future topics, maybe. If I have something concrete, then we can maybe put a slot sometime.
That sounds good. Sam also tends to be call. Quite often, we'll pull topics from one to the other, depending on time. So it'll be fun to work that in. And just before we go on to the main business, Mike and I had a number of conversations about the KMS design. Cam's on the call. Cam was in a bunch of the conversations too. I thought, Mike, we should spend the next meeting in 2 weeks from today covering that in some detail. Does that sound okay?
Yeah, that's fine.
The other topic that I was asked to add here is we need to decide about CI/CD for area shared libraries too. So we make that a topic for next time too. Okay, with that, any other work updates, side business topics for future times? Okay, right on time. We got 35 minutes. Troy, do you want to start with an introduction to Aries Go, or should we start into questions, or how do you want to proceed?
If I can share my screen, I have a little demo and presentation that I can share.
Yeah, sounds excellent.
Okay, is that working?
Yes, looks good.
Okay, perfect. So I have a few slides about some basics about Aries Framework Go, how the project is structured, some of the goals, and then I'll give a little demo of it actually working. This is pretty much off the README of the repository. It's a framework to enable DIDCOM, obviously, and agent apps to build standards like DIDs, DIDCOM, DID resolution, verifiable credentials. In this particular case, it's implemented in Go, where we also implement Aries protocols and messages. Like the ACAPI project, the Go framework also includes controller bindings, supporting both REST and WebAssembly. And the WebAssembly variation has a JavaScript API. You can use the REST version via Docker image or the WebAssembly version via NPM. Some other goals we had for this framework was to be very portable, in that we can run both on the backend on servers and even in browser sandboxes. That we have a pluggable dependency framework. Really the objective is to be able to customize pretty much anything you're using in the framework. And that if you run go-get to get the project, it should just work out of the box. So the basic structure only requires the Go compiler, but of course you can plug in your own libraries and options into the pluggable dependency framework. A little bit about the project structure. The main option handler is in the directory package framework Aries. And you instantiate one of those with your options and your pluggable dependencies. And then inside package/client is the higher layer Go API. So you have things like DidExchange in the client package. Inside CMD, we have the binary outputs. So one of them is the Aries agent REST, which of course is the REST controller binding. Package controller REST contains the open API endpoints and spec annotations, so you can build Swagger annotations. Command Aries JS worker and package controller/command contains the WebAssembly and JavaScript APIs. Package DIDCOM contains the DIDCOM and Aries packages, so you have the packer, you have DidExchange, you have messaging. All of those lower level packages are down there. In package.did and package.vc, we have the DID and verifiable credential encoding and decoding. The verifiable credential is tested using the W3C test suite. Package/vdri contains the registries and resolvers, along with a package/store abstracting storage. Here's some sample code. So in Go, if you wanted to do a create invitation, you would create aries.new without any options. This is the built-in Go versions of the dependencies. You can supply options here to replace them. Framework.context is basically grabbing an instantiation of a particular bundle of these dependencies. And then you supply it to any of the client packages you want to use, like DidExchange. So you see there, DidExchange.new, you pass in the context, and then you can create an invitation. The REST controller, this looks a lot like ACAPI. So you can post connection/create invitation, and you will get back your invitation object. The JavaScript version, again, very similar. You instantiate an Aries after importing the module. And then you can create invitation. So in all three variations, they do look very similar. The framework can, it supports forward and route coordination. The framework can run as an agent, and that agent can register to the router, and both HTTP and WebSocket transports are supported. So with that said, a little demonstration where we send a basic message between edge agents, and there is a mediator facilitating the transport. A little picture. So you have agent one who posts to the mediator over the HTTP transport, and you have agent two listening on WebSockets for those messages. So the first thing we do is connect one agent to the mediator. So here's the invitation from the cloud deployed mediator. This is actually live, so hopefully it doesn't break. I connect to the router. So this agent is now connected. Let me just check the status, success. I'll register my route there, perfect. And now what I want to do is show sending a message to a bot agent that I have running. So I'll get an invitation from the bot. There we are. You see here, it happens to be registered the same router because I didn't have time to deploy two, but you can deploy a different one. I'll connect to the bot. So this is being forwarded by the mediator. I'll check the status, it's all good. I'll register for messages, I'll explain that in a sec. And I'm gonna tell the bot what kind of pie I like. So I like strawberry. Apparently that bot happens to like raspberry pie, and we'll see why in a minute because I got a little geeky with this demonstration. Okay, so what actually happened there? Well, there's two cool things I didn't mention. One of them is, one of the agents is actually running in my browser. This is not a cloud agent. This is a WebAssembly agent that was actually running in the browser sandbox. And the other side, the bot, is actually a Raspberry Pi that's running in my house. So what we saw there is the browser-based WebAssembly sending this message, I like strawberry pie, via the mediator to the Raspberry Pi agent, and the Raspberry Pi agent replying with, I like Raspberry Pi. Here's some links about the project. You can go to see the Go docs. We have docs about verifiable credentials, examples, docs about DIDs, docs about DID resolution. The Docker image and the NPM package are on github.com/ARIES-framework-go. I do have to, we have to make a few updates to the NPM package. Because as we were building the demo, we found a couple bugs, but it should be usable in short order. And I really want to thank the team for getting this demo out the door. So thanks a lot, guys. Any questions, Q&A, anything you want to see again?
Just have a question about how you're doing DID resolution. I don't know, do you have any documents about how you're doing that? And which docs?
So the
Are you plugging into the Universal bottom. Resolver or anyway?
Yeah. So yeah, the third link from the bottom is talking about the generic DID resolver that's built in that does use the Universal Resolver API. But of course, the framework is pluggable, so you can plug any other resolver you feel like in, as long as you wrap it into the Go interface. In this demo, I was not showing DID resolution. This is all pure DIDs. So by that, I mean, it was only resolving locally to the pure DID store.
I have lots of questions about ARIES Framework Go, but that's an impressive presentation with a live demo built in. That's cool. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, thank you.
So we were in the introduction to the when we're doing the work updates, we mentioned the ARIES KMS and some pluggable KMS that people want to build. My understanding is you've wrapped some parts of ARIES Framework Go with the C library. We didn't get a chance to play with that, but would you mind, can you remind me which parts we should play with?
Well, we haven't wrapped any C libraries, so I think I might have misunderstood the question.
That parts of your ARIES Framework Go you exposed as a C library.
Are you asking about calling the ARIES Framework Go via C interface or ARIES Framework Go calling some C library?
Calling it through a C interface. maybe I remember wrong. I thought in early December you said, hey, here's where we've exposed part of our wallet management is a set of C libraries. Or as a C callable API.
Can you
We can't hear you, Trey. I don't know what happened.
Oh, yeah, I think my connection dropped a little bit. Sorry about that.
I thought it was just that I asked
I'm back now, I guess.
A question.
Sorry, what was your question, Richard?
I just remember in December we were talking about how Indy exposes itself as a C callable API. And right. You had done something similar as a proof of concept with part of the Aries framework Go, but I didn't remember which set of APIs you had exposed
called through a C binding. I gotcha. Yeah, so the way we did the WebAssembly binding is actually generic. So it actually is the case that both the REST interface and the WebAssembly interface share code. So the requests and responses are being written in the same way between those, and the difference is in the REST we annotate with Swagger and endpoints, and JavaScript, we add a JavaScript wrapper. And for C, you could actually do the same. So you could add a light C wrapper as long as you do the exact same request and response structure that we did for the other bindings. You could actually use that code.
So and that answers my question, because I was looking for that C wrapper, and it's that it could be done, but you haven't done it yet.
Yeah, so what I mentioned in the previous slide, but really went fast over, is the WASM doesn't actually have a special binding. It's just a mapping from basically request and response JSON calls. So if you pass those in from C or from WebAssembly, it should be fine, but we have not built the C exports for that yet.
Yep, that makes sense. Thank you.
Hey, question, Troy. Are you interested in defining the WebAssembly interfaces for example, I coded Rust and that can also compile to WebAssembly, but I think it would be productive if those APIs looked the same so that people could hot swap them according to whatever their needs are. Are you interested in working on that?
Yeah, so I think definitely having a common interface for plugging in WebAssembly dependencies would be very useful. The way we built this interface is basically the controller API. So in this case, I think we have two things. One of them is how do we plug in WebAssembly built dependencies, which is very interesting, and also a common structure for these controller APIs, whether it's from a WebAssembly or REST or C.
Right. Yeah. So what I'm saying is, but maybe you could document the interfaces you've defined in WebAssembly, and then the rest of us, as we code for WebAssembly, can try to match it as best we can.
So yep. Yeah. That'll be in the list. I'll just give you like a brief thought about that. Basically, the API is like a couple functions, and then we're passing in the request JSON structure in. So it's in our case, it's probably largely more about documenting the JSON objects that are being passed in and the couple of functions that we've exposed. And the other point I'd raise to you is the way we did this is actually inside a web worker. So the WebAssembly is loaded by the web worker and the top level page is communicating with that web worker. I also didn't note that you can actually call this from node.js as well. Which has the same setup. So whether it's Node or the browser, you can instantiate a web worker, which loads the WebAssembly. Any other questions or comments?
I was pausing to let other people come off mute. But we were talking about the controller bindings and the you added the WASM layer. And you mentioned that it's not that you didn't do anything special just for WASM that the REST or C or whatever else could use the same approach. But did you find it difficult to compile everything down to WASM, or what other challenges did you have in adding that WASM support?
Sure. So for the Go stuff, it was not difficult to cross-compile. That's one of the features of the Go compiler. There are a couple things you can't use, like, you know, if you're compiling to the browser, you can't be accessing the disk. So we've built an IndexedDB storage provider that is used instead if it's being built for WASM. But other than that, we had very little difficulty in cross-compiling for WASM, for ARM, for AMD64.
Excellent. When we were looking at Go, it looked like it was hard to consume C libraries in Go. Is that true, or was that our misunderstanding?
So I don't have a lot of experience myself in doing the C imports. I know it is possible, and we've used it before for like PKCS11 with somebody else's wrapper library. It's just you have to structure the C API in a certain way to be compatible, is my understanding. So how pointers are dealt with, how memory is dealt with, this kind of stuff. But I haven't spent a lot of time looking at the C binding stuff.
And is it true that you have to change compilers when you are compiling with C?
So it's handled by the Go compiler, so it's not like you have to actually be writing the command separately. I do think you have to have the compilers installed.
Sorry, what I meant is if you want to link Go libraries with C code, mm-hmm. right? So you have to have a separate compiler?
So the Go compiler can output C shared SOs without
right, but
switching to a different compiler?
If you want to, like, let's say you wanted to consume URSA in your framework, don't you have to, and that's wrapped as a C callable API, don't you have to change compilers to compile in?
So you don't have to change compilers. You can include the C shared library and compile with Go, but of course the shared object has to be available in the system. So my experience with that is largely just about when we include PKCS11 dependencies, which was also a C callable library. So it's mostly I have experience from using it, not from doing it.
Changing topics a little bit, you implemented, my understanding is you're using JWT credentials instead of anon creds. I'm interested to understand the reasoning, how they differ. I haven't looked much at JWT credentials.
Yeah, I mean, like our higher level goal, I guess, is to support as many verifiable credentials as we can that have specs behind them, and then have plugins for any kind of ledger specific variations. So we start with the VC data model, which we've built and tested against the test suite. We built linked data signatures, we built the JWT. For the zero knowledge proofs, I think one outstanding question is just which part is maybe common between ledgers and which part is kind of a ledger specific plugin. I don't really have a good maybe handle on that topic, but that's probably good for another call to get into that a little deeper.
I think the question comes just, the previous question in this one comes from the same source. Because in the areas, between the areas, libraries often ZKP, just CL credentials are used. And I think all of them use URSA as a source of cryptography. So yeah. That's why we asked about C libraries and so on.
Yeah, and I know, like, in fact, they I believe have a pure Go version of Identity Mixer. And I was not entirely sure how the zero knowledge proofs in Indy or in other Aries frameworks, how it relates to things like Identity Mixer, if it's very different, if it's very similar, if the zero knowledge proof components are all from standards, or if it's custom for Indy. So I guess I have like a laundry list of questions about that topic.
I can talk with you that offline, Troy, about that.
Okay,
I have a lot of experience with both of those.
Awesome. Yeah, because at the end, like, two concerns are, how do we separate standards from ledger plugins? That's something we've been trying to do. And how do we keep this portable so that we can bring in running this in, say, a browser or these other environments, where we wouldn't really have an option of a C callable library. We might have an option of a WebAssembly import.
I'm just surprised because you said you implemented linked data signatures, and I've seen the spec on that. So unless you've seen another one, that is like not very well specified at all.
Yes, it's definitely behind. So I should say that we're more in progress on that one.
Yeah, I'm just surprised you implemented that one versus the ZKPs. My guess is it's more of an understanding versus a spec definition. So, but I'm more than happy to help with the ZKP and the understanding between IDMix and Indy.
Yeah, we started with JWT, which was the most easy to understand, I think. But yeah, the goal is to support as wide a variety as possible, as long as we can understand from a spec. And understand what's like I said, ledger specific versus kind of common.
And you mentioned one of the main project goals is portability, being able to run in a web browser. I'm curious what other, libindy is where most of Aries started. Did you look at libindy and then decide it's not portable enough, or were there other things about libindy that didn't work for your needs, or was there another reason why you started a separate framework?
Well, I guess this was a while ago now. So, and I haven't really looked at libindy since, so I can't really talk to the current status. But at the time, it seemed like what we'd be gaining from importing libindy would be basically to get the packer and unpacker implementations, and maybe the crypto imports, but that was more of a minor piece for us. We can get the crypto directly natively, and there's plenty of JWE-like libraries, and it's not that hard to implement. So it didn't seem like there was enough at the time in libindy for us to use, as we're not using Indy as the backend. In our projects right now.
Yeah, that's useful. Appreciate that. It's nice to understand your thinking on that. So thank you.
Sure. Yeah, we did look at reuse code when we started. That was something we wanted to do. But when we reuse code, there's some disadvantages we take. So if it's a big enough thing, then it might be worth it. But taking the hit on the portability is problematic.
Yeah, that makes sense. My other set of conversation is, how are you doing interoperability testing? Have you played with the test framework? And
well, yeah, so I mean, the history of that is kind of funny. So when we started the controller bindings, we actually tried to be similar to ActiPy, with kind of the goal of even trying to, maybe even interop on the controller bindings. So that's, interop is important to us. I think we got onto this funny path where we did exchange with the thought that maybe that would be finished maybe earlier than it's being finished. So now we're in this spot of, if did exchange is done and other people implement it, they can test interop. Otherwise, we're gonna have to add in the connections protocol to do that. So it's kind of funny.
That makes sense. That evolution where we said, hey, we did connections, and we said, hey, let's do the exchange. And we said, wait, too many people did connections. Let's go back. It left the people at the cutting edge that leapfrogged us a bit behind, not behind, but we'll all get to a bit ahead of us, but it makes it hard to measure interoperability.
Yeah, because I definitely want to do that. It's just what makes the most sense. So, assuming that did exchange happens in not the far distant future, then that would be great.
Yeah, I have been writing on that today, so we're not ignoring it. It just isn't done yet.
Perfect, yeah. In terms of RFCs, right, so I guess not everybody implemented, you know, the same RFCs for, like, route coordination and forwarding and these kind of things, so that's kind of another interesting topic. We've implemented those RFCs, and obviously that's not going to interrupt with other implementations that didn't. Also an artifact of us coming in later.
That makes a lot of sense. I was trying to find the link to put it into the notes, but you had a list of which RFCs you've already implemented that you shared with me a while back. I think that might be useful for everybody else on the call.
Yeah. And it's expanded since then. So I guess one thing I didn't mention when I was showing the demo is the registration for messages. That was basically allowing the JavaScript business logic to register for the basic message, like we've explained in kind of previous calls with this externalized extensibility. Even these stateless messages can be done out of the box with a framework by registering that particular type to your handler. And internally, we've implemented several of the RFCs. So did exchange, we actually even did introduce the routing coordination, the encryption envelope, tier dids. So that kind of suite, I can send the link, I'll have to find it back. And what is not there yet is the issue credential and present proof, but that's definitely something we'd like to see in the framework. And then we'll have to go back to the AIP list and see what's left.
I just found the list from December.
Yeah.
So I'll put that into the notes. And you can update it to the more recent one when it's convenient. Yeah. I have to say, it's a pretty impressive list for starting from scratch, doing everything without drawing on the previous indie stuff. That's you got your team. Like I said, your team moved fast. It's very nice.
Thanks. I actually think it's actually important for the Aries project to actually have two implementations, anyways. I think that's a good conversation point that there's the Rust based version and the Go based version, but it actually is two real implementations, not just reusing the library. I think that's a great story.
Yeah, that makes sense. Pausing and let other people come off mute so I don't dominate at all. Do you have plans to submit the did exchange test to the test suite?
I can't say that we have currently planned on that, so I couldn't really answer that right now.
Just going through my list of questions. I think we covered all the... I had those 8 questions or so when we started. So thank you for that conversation. What questions do other people have?
Maybe something about who is consuming the Aries framework Go right now, so we would better understand the place of this implementation in the whole ecosystem.
So I can't say that I'm aware of necessarily users of the framework. That's partially because it's still kind of an early state where we don't have the interop with the other frameworks. but I can say that our other open source projects, which is called TrustBlock, github.com/TrustBlock, does use Aries Framework Go to implement kind of higher layer business functions. I'd love to hear of others who are using it. And, you know, I didn't really mention, but because this whole framework is componentized, you can actually use the DID implementation separately from the rest of the framework, or the verifiable credentials. They're not really tied together. So that's kind of another interesting point, that you don't have to use every piece of the framework at once. And if someone's using the framework, let me know. I'd love to hear.
Yeah. Is SecureKey started to adopt this framework in your enterprise products yet?
Well, yeah, I can't really speak to SecureKey's product planning, so I can stick to the open source projects, particularly TrustBlock projects. So if you have questions about the open source stuff, I can speak to that, but I can't really speak to the SecureKey product planning.
Yep, fair enough. So my question for the other attendees is, Nikita, specifically on our team, spent some time looking at Go framework. Has anybody else played with it? So I'm glad we spent the time. If nobody came off mute to say they play with it. Glad we spent the time to make sure that people are more aware. I think Troy's right. It is good for the Aries community to for us to understand each other's implementations and to see the different approaches that are being taken. And I do encourage the other members of the Aries community to spend some time with the Go framework. I think there's a lot of learnings there that we want to spread through the ecosystem. And George has done a great job at getting a lot of those learnings into RFCs, but it'll be nice if people look at the implementation too. So we're getting near the end of the call. Anything else you want to share about the Go framework, Troy?
Not particularly, other than like do play with it. I think now that there's also a JavaScript API, that should broaden the potential usage of the framework. And we'd love to have more contributors. It'd be great to have contributors from kind of the credential issuance presentation, somebody who wants to add an indie plugin would be awesome. So please, more contributors, very welcome, and enjoy.
Excellent. And when are your weekly meetings? I know you put a link in here, but.
Every day at 10 Eastern time. Is a short stand-up for related contributors. At 10:30 on Tuesdays, Eastern time, is more of a planning session where people talk about what they've done and what they plan for the next week.
You said that's on Thursday?
Tuesday morning, 10:30 Eastern.
8:30 Eastern.
10:30.
Sorry, 10:30.
Yeah.
Sorry, my headpiece went quiet. And that's the one you keep the notes for in the wiki.
Yeah, that's the one.
Excellent. And then of course you have I think you do most of your collaboration in the Aries Rocket Chat. Do you have a separate Aries Framework Go channel?
No, well, we made Aries-Go. So trying not to say it's just the framework. Anybody who wants to do Go stuff with Aries, I think, would be quite welcome in the channel.
Yep. Excellent. Any last questions, comments from anybody?
This is just a small question. It's not directly related to the Aries framework Go, but to the DIGD exchange that came up. And I've been wondering about where this work continues, because I know that there is this DITCOM working group now, and I just haven't quite figured out whether DIGD exchange and the protocol specification is going to be part of that, or if this stays in Aries, because it's been discussed mostly in Aries, but I also saw like some communications stuff in the DITCOM working group. Maybe Sam or someone can comment.
Yeah, this is a longer ongoing thing. So, there's the easy technical answer, which is fairly incorrect, and then there's a more complicated answer, which is more correct, and that is the effort to standardize DIDCOM in the broader community, literally anyone who wants to participate, is ongoing, but. And that will happen in the DIDCOM working group at the DIF. It's important, though, that we don't, as an Aries community, have to sit and simply wait for an output for that to happen. My goal for the Aries community is that as the outputs start becoming more visible from that work, that we work towards that, to the point where when it is more or less released, that we as the Aries community move to adopt that. But in the meantime, we've still got like real practical problems now to solve. And so it's a little bit of a fine line where we still need to work on solving our practical problems. And then if there's things that aren't urgent to solve within our own community, that we can just wait until we see some output from that group, that's a good item. So DIT exchange appears to be one of these that has more of an interest within our specific community needs. And that's why we're sort of continuing to talk about it. And so the long answer is there. The short answer is that we got to get stuff done and figure it out. So work that we are doing to try, like, for example, I'm writing an invitation protocol that will end up in both probably as an Aries output thing and also, end up integrated into the stuff that we're working on the DIDCOM working group that will help. That's one of the sort of remaining issues on the invitation side of things. So that's a little bit of a messy answer, but does that help add a little bit of clarity maybe?
Perfect. Thanks. That's pretty much clears it up. Yeah. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. And thank you for asking questions, Ben. We look forward to you joining in the future and asking more questions. Thank you, Sam, for the answer. And thank you, Troy, George, the Philip, the whole SecureKey team, Sudesh, Rolson. It's a neat project you've been working on. I encourage everybody to look at it and benefit from all the good ideas there. So appreciate the time you took sharing it with us.
Thank you for giving us a slot.
Excellent. And anybody else wants a slot? I recruited the Framework Go team because I want to learn more about it. But if other people have things they want to present, just let me know and we'll add you to the list. So that'll be good. Talk to everybody in this time zone in 2 weeks and see those that can attend the other call in the later time zone later today.